So today, I got to tell you, I'm excited about teaching this word. We're in Genesis chapter 3. And I want to just begin by saying to you is that I told you early on that when it comes to the Bible, you're going to have a difficult time understanding what the Bible is all about if you can't understand the first few chapters in the book of Genesis. And so today, that's where we're going to go. We're going to spend our time there. We're going to focus on this. And one of the reasons is because there's a question, a very crucial question that we need to ask ourselves today, because it deals a lot with where we are living at this moment. And so let me just show you what that question is. Where did we come from, and how did we get from where we started to where we are today? Now, that's a really important question to know the answer to, isn't it? Because if you read that question suggests that somewhere in time, there was a moment when something changed. There was a huge event that changed, and it changed the entire universe. Now, I want to remind you that at the end of Genesis chapter 1, when God had created everything, remember what he said? It said that God looked over all that he had created, and behold, it was good, right? Wrong. It was very good. There was no sickness. There was no death. There was no suffering. There was no pain. There was no illness. There were no murderers. There were no child molesters. There were no abusive husbands. There were no broken homes. There were no latchkey kids. It was a perfect place. What God gave to us, what came from the hand of God, was paradise. And now we have roses with thorns, and we have bombs that can kill millions of people in a moment. What happened? What happened to the paradise that God handed to us? Well, the Bible has an answer for that, and it answers that question in one word: sin. In Genesis chapter 3, a serpent entered into the garden, and that serpent changed everything. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to go to the garden, and I want to listen to the conversation that took place between that serpent and Eve and Adam. And I'm doing it not because I enjoy talking about sin. I'm doing it because there's so much that we can unpack to where we can learn from the mistakes of Adam and Eve. And I hope you ask me the question, well, why is that so important? Here's the reason. Because Satan attacks us on this day, in this time, the same way he went after Adam and Eve. His tactics hasn't changed. The more we can learn from the mistakes of what Adam and Eve made, the better we're going to be able to stand firm against what Satan tries to do to us. Amen? Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Father, help me today to stand firm, so that when Satan speaks, I know exactly how you want me to respond. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so I want to begin by just clarifying a couple things for you, if you don't mind, okay? And here's the first thing. I want to remind you that there really was a garden, okay? This is not an allegory. This is not just a story that was made up. There really was a garden. We know it was east of Israel, and we know approximately where it was located. But I also want to add to that, in the garden is a serpent, and he talks. I want to stop right there because there may be some of you here this morning that haven't heard this story before. Maybe you're watching online, and I want you to know this is the truth of God's word. And I don't want you to think, oh, that pastor's been smoking something. I'm going to turn the channel. Okay, stay with us. Hang in there because we're going to explain exactly what the Bible says about that. But there was a serpent in the Bible, in that garden, and he spoke. But I also want you to know that that serpent was in the garden for a reason. And that reason was, is his intent was to destroy the crown jewel of God's creation. And you know what that was? That's you and me, mankind. And I need you to hear this. That intention has not changed. The devil still intends to destroy you and I. He knows he's been judged. He knows what's going to happen to him. And now what he wants to do is he wants to take as many people as possible with him. So what I want to do is I want to look at the story and I want to unpack it for you. And I want to show you how the devil did what he did. But we're not just going to stay there. We're going to learn from it because when the devil attacks us, we need to know how to handle it. All right, now there's four things that I want to show you this morning. Four points that I want to make, and then we're going to unpack the scriptures so that you are without excuse. Remember, God gave us his word to teach us. And one of the ways he teaches us, the Bible tells us, is by learning from the mistakes of others. So here's the first thing that I want you to know. The temptation in the garden is subtle and unexpected. Let's see what the word of God says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, I want to begin by going back to what we know for sure, okay? And to do that, right away we have to go all the way to the book of Revelation, okay? Watch what the book of Revelation says about this. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So here's the first thing that we know. The Bible tells us that the serpent that was in the garden is the devil. Now, why do you think the Bible would have to tell us that? Any clue? Here's why. The serpent is in the garden, but he's disguised. What do disguises do? They hide. And remember, in the garden, nothing is hidden, right? It's all out in the open. Even Adam and Eve are naked, and they're not ashamed. Why? Because everything is out in the open. All right, now, so here we have Eve, and she's walking in the garden, the Bible says. We don't know how the serpent got in the garden, and we don't know where he came from. The Bible is silent about that. But we do know that he came for a reason. So here is Eve. She's walking through the garden. It's the perfect day because she's in the perfect garden, right? The sun is shining. There's a nice cool breeze. The birds are singing. Everything is absolutely perfect. Everything is gorgeous. She's not looking for the serpent, but you need to know the serpent is looking for her. Now, the Bible tells us that as she's walking through the garden, we know she's in the middle of the garden. And we know that because the Bible tells us that the trees are there. Remember the two trees? One of them is the tree of life, and the other one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As Eve is walking through this part of the garden, the serpent speaks. And I want you to realize, Eve's not surprised. And Eve is not afraid. She's in the garden, and the serpent speaks to her. Now, I would think that the serpent was beautiful to look at. And not only was he beautiful to look at, his voice was captivating. Now, I want to stop there for a moment, and I want to pull out a couple things that we learn about temptation right away, okay? Here's the first one. Temptation generally comes when we least expect it. Can you say amen to that? Think about this. You're flipping through the channels, and all of a sudden, oh, not supposed to watch that. What you do in the first 5 to 10 seconds determines what happens next, right? Maybe, ladies, you're shopping, and there's that one dress that you see, and you know it's not at the store that you're at because you don't want to go there, and you go to another store, and all of a sudden, there it is again. But I want you to understand that temptation comes when we least expect it. And now think about this. Where is Satan? He's in the garden. It's the perfect place. Here's the second thing that we need to learn from that. When everything is going well in your life, beware. Can you relate to that? I mean, Satan is so tricky. And he knows that in life, when things are going good for us, what do we tend to do? We tend to kind of drop our guard, don't we? And Satan knows now's the time to pounce. So that's the first thing that we learn from the garden in our own lives. Okay, here's the next thing I want you to learn. His strategy was conversation and controversy. Now, I want to tell you something. I think Satan's brilliant. He is extremely cunning, and he is very wise, and he is powerful. Because you know what he's about to do with Eve? He's about to play Bible trivia with her. Okay? He's about to play Bible trivia with her. Now, you may think, okay, well, what do you mean by that? Well, he wants to figure out how much Eve knows. And so what he does is he asks her a question. So here's kind of how this conversation goes. Satan speaks, Eve responds, Satan speaks again. The whole thing could have been done in 60 seconds. Now look at what the question, this is what Satan says to her. Look at what he says. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat of any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." Okay? Now, Satan has heard Eve say this. So here's what I want to pay attention. Here's the question. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? All right, now, I want to show you something here that is very subtle. To the naked eye, you probably don't recognize this. I want you to look at that word God. That's the word Elohim. It means God, the creator. My friends, did you know that when God spoke with Adam and Eve, he never used that name? He used the name the Lord God. You know why? Because that's the name where we get the name Yahweh. In other words, that's the personal part of God. So it's kind of like this. You can call him God, or if you're a child of his, you can call him what? Father, right? Or Abba, daddy, right? So here's what happens. When God speaks to Adam and Eve, he's talking about a relationship, and he goes, "It's me, your father." But notice what Satan says to them. It's me, God, the creator, the formal name. So Satan takes that personal aspect out of it. That's our first clue. All right, now look at that. It says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, this is very clever, and watch why Satan's doing what he's doing. The devil is saying to Eve, I know something you don't know I know. And here's what I know. I know, Eve, that you were not present when God spoke the instructions to Adam. So what I realize is, Eve, everything depends on your knowing what your husband said to you. In other words, did you clearly get his explanation? Now, here's what I want you to know. It says, did God really say? What it means is this. Really? Did God say? Now look what God said. Did God really say? And Satan says, really? Did God say? What did Satan do? He twisted one word around, didn't he? Just one. What's he trying to do? He wants to know how well Eve knows the Word of God. You know what he finds out? She has a general knowledge, but she does not know exactly what the Word of God says. All right, now, Satan now has Eve, and I want you to look at what happens because of how Satan twists the Word of God. The very first thing Eve does is she downplays God's permission. Okay, remember what God said to Adam? You may eat from what? Any tree in the garden, right? Do you remember what Eve said? You can only eat from the trees. Here's the second thing she did. She added to God's word. Remember what she did? When Satan asked her the question, she said, well, we're not supposed to eat from the trees. And then she added, we're not supposed to touch it, right? God never said that. All right, now, somebody said to me in between services, and I thought this was pretty good. They said, Pastor Bob, maybe Adam did say that. In other words, maybe, you know how we are sometimes with our wives. We want to make sure they really get the point. So we might add something to it to make sure they truly understand. The only problem with that explanation is this, is that's called a lie, right? So Adam couldn't have added something to God's word that God didn't give him. Here's the third thing she did. She downplays the punishment. Now remember this. Do you remember what happened? What did God say? When you eat of it, you will what? Surely die. What does Eve say? She says, you will die. All right, now, I want to say all of this so that you can understand this point. You may be thinking, it's just a word or two. It's not that big a deal. And here's why it's huge. This is why it's important to know the Word of God. Because if you're going to have a conversation with the devil, you better know exactly what God's words say and his war. Here's why. Because you can't stand on what God didn't say. Do you understand the importance of that? God is showing us through this example the importance of knowing his word, because when we don't know his word, Satan does, and he uses that word against us, and he twists it just a little. And look what the result was. Eve started believing something that wasn't true. Can you imagine what would have happened if Eve would have known exactly what God said? Here's the second thing I want you to remember. Sometimes Satan will use your loved ones. Those you're close to, your family, your friends, he will use those individuals to throw you off guard. And even with one another, we have to know what God's word says, because the Bible tells us that Satan will flee at the word of God. It's not something that God didn't say. Everybody clear on that? All right, let's go to the third one. His conversation leads to doubt and desire. Okay? Here's what happens. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit tree was good for food and was pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Okay? I'm going to go back here for a second. What does Satan say? You will not certainly die. See what he's doing? Now, I want to point this out to you. In the Hebrew language, this expression is extremely, extremely strong. It's like someone taking your fist and pounding it on the table. And so this is what happens. The Bible says, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. What Satan is saying here is this. God said, you will surely die? Not. Just one word. And Satan says, not. That's not what will happen. Now, because Eve doesn't know the word of God, she's starting to doubt, right? All right, now, why is this so important? Here's why it's important, people. If Satan can convince you that your sin will not be found out, there isn't anything we won't do. Do you understand that? That's what Satan's doing. Satan is saying to Eve, Eve, there's no consequence for this. That's not what God said. If you believe that you will not get caught doing whatever it is you're being tempted to do, you know what? You will do it. But my friends, you and I must know and we must remember there's always consequences for our sin. All right, now, then Satan goes the next way. He's got the doubt, but look at how he brings Eve in with her desire. Look at this. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So here's what's happening here. Satan says to Eve, you will be like God. Now just think about this. Just read that statement. You will be like God. Doesn't that say something like this? If I will be like God, there must be something in my life that I don't have. Because if I had it, I would be like God. Do you see how Satan is just drawing her in? He's already planted the seed of doubt by twisting the word of God. And now he says, God's been holding back on you, Eve. He's not the guy you say. He couldn't say that if he said the Lord God because he's bringing in a relationship. No, no. He says this God, this creator, he's holding back on you. And you know what? You could be just like him. And so Eve, like many of us who are looking to get gratification from the world, see, it didn't just happen today. This has been going on since the beginning of time. Not looking to God for fulfillment, but looking for what we can get. So now let's look at how Satan has worked in her life. Here's the first one. At the practical level, this is what happens. The fruit was good to eat. What did we call that? The lust of the flesh. Here's the second thing. This is the emotional level, okay? It was pleasing to the eye. What's that? That's called the lust of the eyes. Here's the next one. That's the spiritual level. It would make her wise. What do we call that? That's the pride of life. Do you see what Satan's doing? And he's been doing this all along. He knows that we are apt to look at the creation rather than the creator for fulfillment. Now, I want to do something real quickly. We're almost done, okay? Bear with me. I want to go to the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. Listen to what this says. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Okay? All right, now. Here's the last point I want to make. The result is, when we fall into temptation, we take others down with us, and that's disaster. You can sum up everything that happened in the garden in these four words: saw, took, gave, ate, right? So what did Eve do? Eve, the devil has her hook, line, and sinker. She takes the fruit, She takes a bite, and what's the first thing she does? She gives them to her husband. Now Eve joins Satan's team. In fact, she's now doing Satan's dirty work. She's bringing others with her, which is exactly what Satan wants to do, is he's going to take as many people with him as he can. All right, now, I want to ask a question because I know you're thinking this, and then we're going to bring this to a close. And here's the question. Where in the world was Adam? Now, I don't know what you've thought, but the Bible tells us where he was. Look at this. Up, sir, man. Where was he? He was with her. He was with her. Now, I don't know about you in your mind, but in my mind, I'm sitting there and I'm picturing this and I'm thinking, dude, what were you doing? What were you thinking? And here's why. While the serpent was twisting God's word, Adam knew the word because he was there and he got it from God. And he didn't say anything. Look at this in the New Testament. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. The Apostle Paul is telling us it wasn't Adam that was deceived. It was the woman who was deceived. But I want to point something out to you because it's real easy for us guys to say, see, it was that woman. Okay? But I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says in Romans. Therefore, just as a sin entered through the world through one, what is it? Man. Doesn't say anything about a woman, does it? Just as sin entered through the world through one man and death through the sin, and in this way death came to all people because all have sinned. Remember when God was walking through the garden? He was walking through the cool of the day. And you remember what he did? He called out to Adam, and Adam comes out. He didn't call out to Eve. He called out to Adam, the man. He goes, why were you hiding? Well, we were hiding because, well, we were naked. What? We were naked. Who told you you were naked? God knew, didn't he? God didn't go to Eve for accountability. He went to the man. Well, this is what we learned, gentlemen. When we as men fail to exercise our spiritual leadership, our wives and children will always pay the price. Those are hard words. And I think about my own life, my own marriage, my own family, the mistakes that I've made. And I'm being held accountable for them. That's why it's so important for us men to be the spiritual leaders. And wives, let us. I want to just remind you of something because I want to stop the story here now. And I just want to stop for a minute. And I just want to tell you about, okay, this is Valentine's Day. We're talking about sin. Well, if the story ended here, that would be a bad thing, right? But the story doesn't end here. If you go into your scriptures, when the Bible says that God came walking through the garden, guess what? He's not called God. He's called the Lord God again. He's called Yahweh. He's called Dad. When Dad came into the garden, he went to Adam and Eve, and the first thing he did is he put to death an animal as a sacrifice to give up that skin so that God could clothe them. And in doing that, you realize what he was doing, don't you? He started the redemption plan. That's called I love you. And I love you so much that I'm willing to stretch out my arms and go to the cross on your behalf. And that's what he did. In Matthew chapter 5, we have what's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's also called the Beatitudes. Here's what it means. It means don't search in this world to find fulfillment. Search the Lord, because that's the only way you'll find fulfillment. And remember, when it talks about it's the Beatitudes, it's the Beatitudes, not the do attitudes. Because our actions come from who we are in here. It's not about what you do for a living, and it's certainly not about your thinking that you've accomplished much. It's all about who you are, but most important, whose you are.